This is Tell Me What to Read, powered by Booktopia. I'm Nick Vasiliev, and today we are sitting down for another podcast in our Booktoberfest series, our festival celebrating the best of new and exciting books released in 2022. Today, John Ayoum sits down for a discussion with the one and only Sean McAuliffe, ABC television host and author of Tripping Over Myself, a memoir of a life in comedy. Check the show notes below for timestamps for the interview, and if you are enjoying our show, you can drop a review on Apple Podcasts, a like on Spotify, wherever you are listening to our show, we want to hear what you have to say. Now over to Joel's interview with Sean McAuliffe, author of Tripping Over Myself, which you can order in the description right now from booktopia.com.au as part of our Booktoberfest campaign.
Hello, I'm Joel, and I'm here with Sean McAuliffe to talk about his book, Tripping Over Myself. He's currently eating a lolly.
I know that'd be unprofessional of me, Joel, to eat the lolly while we're talking. So I've just unwrapped it.
Preparing the lolly.
I put it on my knee, and then as a reward, when we finish, if you think it's okay, give me a nod, and then I'll give myself this treat.
Only if you do a good job, though.
Okay.
Thanks so much for taking the time to come. Sean's just been signing a bunch of books. Very boringly for many hours.
No, I found it very interesting. I enjoyed writing my name over and over and over again. Something my mother did. In fact, in the book, I talk about this. This is very interesting. I existed. My name, Sean, as applied to me, existed before I ever existed. My mother, apparently, when she was a school kid, just loved the name, wanted to have a son at some stage in her life. Not immediately when she was 15 in school, obviously, but at some point in the future, she anticipated having a son called Sean. So she would just practice writing the name. She didn't know the surname. She hadn't any idea that she would marry somebody called McAuliffe. I don't think that was on the radar up in Lochiel in South Australia back in 1958. And so I came to be much later on.
Mm, absolutely. And did you, well, McAuliffe, I didn't realise until I read the book that your father was from Malta.
That's right. Yes, a lot of people assume, because Sean McAuliffe, they just assume it's got some Celtic origin. Mm. And they probably assume it's a McAuliffe rather than McAuliffe. So it's McAuliffe. Doesn't quite look finished, that name. It seems to need another F or an E or something at the end of it. So, yes, my life has been correcting people on their pronunciation of my name. But as I found out recently, I have been telling them the wrong thing. I've been pronouncing it McAuliffe, and any Maltese worth their salt will come up to me and say, no, it's McAuliffe. Oh, okay, McAuliffe. Oh, all right, well, I'll bug on an accent then. I'll do my surname.
I have a similar experience with my Egyptian last name that no one can ever pronounce, and no one ever knows what it is.
Oh, let's know what it is, Joel. How do you pronounce your surname?
Well, if you're listening, it's Nayum.
Yes.
Yes.
And people get that wrong.
And there's three vowels in the middle, so no one ever gets. Yeah. You don't know where to go with that. So the book, the title of the book, you tell us in the book what the title is about, but I think it's an interesting introduction to the idea. Can you tell us a bit about how you came up with the title?
Yes. Well, there were a number of titles that I proffered to Hardy Grant. I originally wanted to call the book Whatever Became of Me, with no question mark. So it was just I don't know what I am, but here it is. This is it, whatever it is. Anyway, Hardy Grant rightly thought that was a little wishy-washy. So they did like the idea of Tripping Over Myself, which I liked because I'm a big fan of slapstick comedy. I'm also a very clumsy person, and I also know how to lean into that natural clumsiness to get a laugh. But also, I suppose it does mean that most of the hurdles in my life have been of my own devising. I think seem to have placed those things in my own path. I've been very, very fortunate in my life that those are the only problems I've had to contend with. And therefore, if I've created the problems, then they can usually be sorted out. They haven't been visited on me by above. The other thing I like about it is tripping over myself. It's kind of a drug reference, isn't it? Like, I'm really getting into myself here. I'm really so that's kind of the nature of an autobiography as well. So, Joel, it works on three levels.
That more levels than I realised, actually, even reading the book. It's amazing.
Two more than necessary, I suspect.
You talk in the book about how, you know, basically nothing bad ever happened to you and you had a lovely family and a lovely life.
Yeah.
How did you go about writing a memoir when nothing bad, especially as a comedy memoir? Most of those are full of terrible things that happened to the comedian.
I know. You need a crazy mother or something like that, don't you, at the very least. Yes, all my comic heroes have had terrible, terrible childhoods and lives, and like a big fan of Peter Sellers, but apparently his mother was a very, 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 very hard person to please. Mm. Charlie Chaplin, I think his mother sadly went insane. His father left him and he had lived on the street. And Spike Milligan, a bit older, but he's in the army, gets blown up by a mortar shell, you know. And I didn't have any of these things. I assume I'd never amount to anything as a result. So maybe the minor level of recognition that I have in this country and the if success be the right word, if I've had some of that, it's all been quite measured. And I think that's a good sign for people. They don't have to live a life of terrible travail in order to feel they've achieved something. You can just have a perfectly normal life where nothing ever goes wrong, and it can be nice and happy. So I think that's good, because a lot of autobiographies just fill their Angela's ashes ish, you know. And this isn't that.
Drawing out the darkness in someone's life.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't believe in this sort of Pagliacci clown stuff anyway. I don't think necessarily there has to be a dark side.
I agree, and I think it left you room in the book to talk about comedy, which I think is very interesting, and that's why most people are going to pick up the book in the first place.
I agree. I love the mechanics of it. That is part of the interest for me. In fact, part of the motivation for me in writing the book was that this is exactly the sort of book I would have loved to have read as a kid. I mean, I was very interested in anything to do with comedy. So the instinct to be drawn towards it is common to a lot of people. Mm. And then there's the natural ability that people have, that they have a kind of a sense of humour that they can act on and recreate comic moments and make their friends laugh. And then at some point you go, well, why is that? Why does that work? Why, how do I know how to do that? And you kind of work out the mechanics of it. And I find that fascinating. So we talk about that in the book. And then to be able to use the instinct and the knowledge to make something, you know, that lasts more than two episodes, you know, to try and make a series of something and to recreate it under circumstances that aren't necessarily the easiest way to do it. So, yeah, and you learn that from stage. You will repeat a performance and you'll hone it and polish it, and the audience will give you a bit more information each time. And you'll go, oh, I see. Now, if I lean to the left, if I'm slightly on this, on the ball of my foot here when I do that line, for some reason the laughter is louder. You don't know why necessarily. That's the art side of it. But you can combine it with the science side of it, and you can pretty much work it out, and you end up having a sixth sense or a muscle memory as to how to do it. I find all that fascinating, and we do delve into that as much as we can in the book.
Mm, I really liked that element of it. The sort of, you talk about how the audience is your editor, especially when you were newer, and then how you adapted your natural sensibility towards writing scripts and when you didn't have an audience to help write it.
That's very true. I think any ability, any timing that I have is certainly left over from when I did university review in front of an audience. And the audience is not only a good editor, they're kind of your partner a bit when you're performing. And it's not like you make them laugh. In fact, if you go in with that attitude, I don't think you get the laugh that you think you're going to get. Mm. They give you permission to do the act that you're doing. That their response is going, yes, we'd like some more of that, you know, and they feed you that enthusiasm, and you feed off that enthusiasm. And that's why I think in good theatre or any good live performance has to be a little bit different every time you do it. Otherwise, what's the point of doing it on stage in front of the audience? I think that's what the audience values. And anyone who goes to the theatre and sees something that they know has only ever happened in that moment. You know, there are moments in a theatre production when you suddenly go, oh, that can't be something they did every night. That little prop gets dropped, or there's a look, or there's a kind of a lean in. There's just something, it's like a dance, you know, there's a real poetry to it. And I think that when those moments coincide and you get that lovely big laugh, it's very special for not only the audience for that night, because I know it's just for them, but also for the performer on stage.
Mm. And then translating that into the different forms as you've done throughout your career. I mean, one notable moment in the book I really enjoyed was your breaking down of why tossing coffee out of a cup in, I think it's Bad Eggs, why it was funny the first time you did it and why it wasn't funny the eight times after it.
That's right. Well, I just come out of doing lots of television where it was really just one take using multiple cameras, and I was making a movie, yes. And it is something you have to learn. It's something I wasn't aware of, is that you do have to recreate exactly the right moment for the cameras on a number of different angles in order for it to be cut together without losing the spontaneous moment that made it funny. And yes, the example you mentioned there, I simply wasn't able to do it. I couldn't remember the order of it. I basically couldn't replicate it, which is my job. I mean, that's why I was hired. I'm supposed to be funny. I should be able to recreate it. By the time I did the next film after that, I kind of worked out how to do it. You've just got to keep your powder dry a little bit, and you've just got to be a little less in the moment, but more overseeing your own performance, curating your own performance a bit. Yeah, so I tried it any number of different ways, and in the end I thought, well, I'll leave it up to the director to edit this thing together. And I remember going back and looking at the film after I'd written that passage in the book just to see which take it was they used, if my memory was right. And they used the fifth one, which wasn't funny. Damn them.
Not to you.
No, not to me. I guess I know maybe the choices, but the audience doesn't. So that's the other thing to remember, is that whenever you look back on something you've done and you think, that's not quite as good as I remember it in rehearsal, the audience doesn't know. They weren't there in the room. They're probably perfectly happy with what you've done. So don't try and convince them that it's not funny.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very loving portrayal of comedy, so I really appreciate having the chance to read it and to chat to you. Thanks so much for joining us, Sean. Wish we could talk for longer, but you got to dash off.
We've got stuff to do, Joel.
Absolutely, very busy.
Do I get to eat my lolly?
You can eat your lolly. Okay. That was great. Thank you very much.
Yum, yum, yum.
And you can read Tripping Over Myself by buying it at Booktopia.
Don't forget
your local bookshop.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much to Sean McAuliffe. You can order a copy of all books mentioned in today's podcast in the description below. And if you are enjoying our show, you can drop us a review on Apple Podcasts or a like on Spotify. Wherever you are listening to our show, we would love to hear from you. Our Booktoberfest campaign runs until the end of the month, so be sure to get along and check out all the best new and exciting books that are out there in 2022. Finally, we have a sponsored book for this week, and that is Blue Hotel by Chad Taylor. An incredible, saucy, and electrifying new thriller, Blue Hotel has received praise from the likes of Tim Rogers and Jock Sarong. We'll catch you for our next episode on Friday, but until then, thanks for listening, and never stop reading.